12. This month, our resident historian Chris Armstrong tells the story of a Norfolk character with a difference, the wherry, Ardia.
Generally, in this column, I write about Norfolk characters, some famous, some infamous, and some not widely known at all. This piece is no different in the sense that I'm writing about an extremely gracious lady conceived and born just into Suffolk, but happily resident here in Norfolk. The lady who has caught my attention flaunts her lovely lines afloat. She is the pleasure wherry, Ardia. The original Norfolk wherries were trading vessels. Black-sailed and managed usually by a two-man crew, they carried goods offloaded from ships off the ports of Yarmouth and Lowestoft inland to their destination. The two-man crew of these craft did not have much comfort. Look at the tiny cuddy on the facsimile wherry in the Museum of the Broads to see just how tight things were. You realise why the Norfolk giant, Robert Hales, 7 feet 8 inches tall and 33 stone, who started his career as a wherry boy, left and became one of Barnum's exhibits of human curiosities in the United States. Wherries have a long history, their antecedents dating back to at least the 1600s. In the early days, they carried passengers as well as goods, fulfilling a very similar function to the later longboats on the canals. And they suffered the same fate as the railway age spread its tentacles haphazardly over the country, visiting places no wherry could reach. As their usefulness for trading purposes fell, a new use emerged, and this time the railways were more heroes than villains. The trains just didn't carry goods, they carried people, and were largely responsible for the burgeoning of fashionable resorts like Overstrand and Cromer, whose popularity reached its zenith in the Victorian and Edwardian period. Travelling through Broadland on the way to Cromer, travellers became aware of the attractions of the Broads as an interim destination en route for the coast. Local entrepreneurs were quick to spot the opportunity to offer brief holidays afloat as a amuse-bouche for a longer stay on the coast. Enterprising owners made temporary adjustments to their craft so they could double as passenger craft in the summer and trading vessels in winter. The addition of a few folderols didn't totally satisfy the demands of the Victorian gentleman, himself built more for comfort than compromise, and it wasn't long before owners began to build craft particularly for this market. The era of the pleasure wherry was born. It was a relatively short era, and Ardia was the last such wherry to be built in 1927, some 12 years after its most recent predecessor. Building the Ardia was the brainchild of a quite remarkable man, Howard Hollingsworth, joint founder of the famous Oxford Street department store, born in Hollingsworth. Like many department stores, it was originally a draper's shop but spread its wings. Hollingsworth was an entrepreneur and a true philanthropist, in both financial and practical terms. Attracted to the coast by his love of fast boats, he built a large house in Lowestoft from which he could indulge his passion. He became a very generous benefactor to the town. He had no family to provide for, so he was in a position to do so. But his generosity had a practical side as well. According to one source, Hollingsworth, although his parents were comfortably off, had started his career as an assistant in a drapery shop. It was then traditional for staff to live either above the premises or in accommodation provided for them. Hollingsworth was reputedly not fortunate in this respect, his employers housing him in a rat-infested basement and providing him with appalling rations. He didn't stay long, and with his brother-in-law Walter Bourne set up their store with £600 borrowed from the family. The accommodation provided for their own staff later was exemplary. He had learnt from his own experience. That experience may too have been behind one of his most philanthropic acts. The 1920s and 1930s were not the happiest of decades for the working population. From 1921 right through to the rearmament boom in 1938, unemployment never dropped below 9.5%, and in much harsher circumstances than today. Hollingsworth was a man of social conscience, and he was involved in several programs to boost both employment and craft skills amongst the young. One of these had a special connection with Ardea. Nearly 60 craftsmen were employed in building her. Hollingsworth intended to build a luxurious craft for his own use, peacefully cruising the broads and an occasional change from the bracing and roaring dash of his fast motorboats. He wanted the best and set out to get it. Strangely, given the troubled economic times, he had some difficulty finding a boatyard willing to construct to his design, but eventually settled on Leah Robinson's yard at Alton. Thus, Ardea, having been conceived in the mind of a Lowestoft man, was constructed in Suffolk, but has spent most of her life in Norfolk, with the exception of an extended spell in France. A special wherry, traditional in external appearance, she was large, at 65 feet, luxurious internally, and, uniquely, constructed of teak, but was completed in remarkably quick time, given the need to acquire sufficient teak and the degree of craftsmanship both in her build and in her fitting out. She embarked in late 1927 on a varied career. Like all great ladies, she has inspired affection, even devotion amongst her owners and admirers, as a result of which, as she approaches her 100th birthday, she is still as beautiful as ever and the epitome of luxury to which Hollingsworth aspired. Her early years were conventional enough. She was used for the purpose for which she had been built, providing Hollingsworth and successive owners with a luxurious means of cruising the broads. In the mid-1950s, she changed hands again, and shedding her exclusivity, she became available for hire. This was an echo of the role of the original Victorian pleasure wherries, but she was about to embark on the adventure of a lifetime and travel to somewhere completely different. She was bought as a home by a couple who were moving to Paris and were having difficulty in finding somewhere to live. Aware that moorings for houseboats were available close by the Eiffel Tower, they looked for a suitable craft and settled on Ardea, which set out with professional assistance for her new home. The journey was not without incident, and poor weather caused Ardea to divert to Calais, whence her new owners took her through the internal waterways to Paris, where she became their home for a couple of years. Following this, there is some mystery about how she came to be in the hands of the Madame of a Paris brothel, who apparently used her, not for her girls to pursue their professional activities, but rather for rest and recuperation in their downtime. She then appears to have been effectively left unused and untended, deteriorating slowly while accumulating unpaid charges. She was rescued by a French architect who restored her and used her for more than 30 years, using her first as a home and then as a hire craft, spending 3 years on continental inland waterways and finally using her for family holidays. The story of her return to Norfolk is a romantic one. Philip Davis, a Norfolk businessman, heard the story of Ardea and decided to try to locate and buy her. Tipped off that she had been seen, he set off for France with a colleague, Mike Barnes, in 1990 to track her down, and finding her, he also met the owner, who allowed them to view the craft. He was not planning to sell her. It was 15 years later that he changed his mind, and Ardea came safely home, undergoing comprehensive restoration and the laying of a new teak deck, necessitating 2 trips to India to locate sufficient quality timber. Ardea was restored to her full pomp. She is a beautiful craft of a historic breed, and certainly the most luxurious. Below she is spacious, her saloon sufficiently large to hold a grand dinner, and there is a modern galley in which to prepare it. As well as crew quarters, there are 3 sleeping cabins and 2 shower rooms. The finish in the saloon is particularly grand, with fine teak panelling and a built-in cottage piano. Davis enjoyed sailing Ardea on the Broads until his death, following which she was purchased by Andrew Scull. His interest in wherries had led him to become a trustee of the Wherry Yacht Charter Charitable Trust, a charity which today he chairs. His fondness for wherries stems from a short trip he and his wife had taken in the wherry yacht White Moth. When this craft was up for sale years later, he bought it and put her into the care of the trust to add to their fleet. About 6 feet shorter than the Ardea, the trust makes her available for charter, as is the case now with Ardea, which Andrew also bought in 2015, and both are on indefinite loan to the trust. Ardea is available for charters of all sorts, from special lunches to full-blown cruises. She should especially appeal in the corporate market. During my working life, I had frequent invitations to events, which I usually turned down. I could not see the point of sitting in a marquee at Wimbledon, eating and drinking while surreptitiously watching play on a television set, which I could have been watching from my seat in the stands. But if I'd ever been invited to an event on Ardea, wild horses wouldn't have kept me away. If you're thinking of staging a special event, whether family or professional, do consider Ardea. Not only will you give guests a memory to treasure, but you will be helping a charity that deserves your support to keep a wonderful piece of Norfolk history alive. Anyone interested in the technical aspects and full history of this special craft should obtain a copy of the booklet Ardea, The Prodigal Pleasure Wherry. Wherryyachtcharter.org.